Memorial Day became an official federal holiday in 1971. It used to be known as Decoration Day. Some of you might have known it as that. It started after the Civil War. Decoration Day did when widows and other ladies would go out to the graves of those that fought in the Civil War and decorated their graves. And it's even been expanded today. We not only honor and remember those soldiers that gave their lives, but many people use it as a day to remember their departed loved ones, and they will go out and decorate the graves on Memorial Day in memory and honor of them. And I want to tell you this morning that God is into remembering. God is a God that would have us remember certain things. In fact, the word remember, rememberest, remembereth, remembering, and remembrance. Well, there's five different words there. 200 times in the Bible. And the thought of remembering something appears in 49 of the 66 books of the Bible. And so I think it's safe to say that God wants us to remember certain things. And so on this weekend, when we remember those that have given their lives, I picked out three verses in the Bible that say, remember this, and I build my message around those three things. The first one we read in our scripture reading from the book of Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In those verses, it tells us that God, when he created the work, did 6 days of labor. And he rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. And so he gave us an instruction. He gave the Jews an instruction that, hey, I want you to work 6 days, but on the seventh day, I don't want anybody to work. Not your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, the stranger. I don't want anybody to work, because in 6 days, I, God, made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and I rested the seventh day and blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Now, and in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, at the end of day 6, the Bible says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, of course, the Sabbath day we know is Saturday. As born-again believers, we've changed the Sabbath day to Sunday. I mean, it's not the Sabbath day, it's the first day of the week. And we take it as a day of rest, a day to hallow, because we remember the resurrection that happened on Sunday. We remember that Christ came out of the grave on Sunday. And early in my life, I can remember on Sunday, hardly anything was open. I mean, you couldn't hardly find a gas station. You couldn't even hardly find a convenience store that was open on Sunday, because people were hallowing the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. I had two grandmothers that if you did anything that even looked like work, you had fallen to the wiles of the devil, you were wicked, and you deserved God's punishment. And they sometimes felt they were the instruments of God's punishment if you did something on Sunday that you shouldn't do. But remember, and so God says, remember the Sabbath. And what he was saying is, I want you to remember creation. I want you to remember everything that I have made. I want you to remember the heavens and everything that I put in the heavens. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the Milky Way, the ozone layer, everything that's in the heavens I made. I want you to, as you remember the Sabbath and the day that I rested, I want you to remember what I made in the heavens. I want you to remember what I made in the earth. All the trees and the grass and the grains. And the vegetables and all the animals that roam the earth, all the dogs and even the cats. I want you to remember the cats. And as you remember the Sabbath day and remember that day that I rested, I want you to remember everything that I've made in the skies. I want you to remember everything I've made in the earth. I want you to remember everything I've made in the seas, all the fish and the whales and the jellyfish and the crabs and the shrimp. But it goes beyond that. Because in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. And so as we remember the Sabbath, let's remember everything that God has made, not only in the creation that we can see, but the things that He's given us in our lives, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren are all gifts from God. Our country, the freedom that we enjoy in this country is a gift from God. The economic system that we enjoy the fruits of in this country is a gift from God. And God says, as He says in one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath, remember the day that I rested. I want you to remember everything that I've made. I want you to remember every good gift that I've given you. And I want you to remember that it all came from me. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we grab a hold of the things of the earth and we say, look at what I've got. Look at what I've made. Look at what the wealth that I've created. And in reality, everything that we have is a gift from heaven. Everything we have comes down from the Father above. He's blessed us with it. He's loaned it to us. But it really all belongs to Him. And when He says, I want you to remember the Sabbath day. I want you to remember the day that I stopped my creative act. I want you to remember the day that I, as God, rested. I don't want you to do anything on that day. I just want you to remember everything that I have given you and blessed you with. Amen. I want you to remember that. Amen. Then I turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, that says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a chapter that talks about getting old. It actually describes some of the maladies there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that we have to endure the older we get. But then it talks about also dying in that chapter. It says in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God says, I want you now, while you're, and again, in the days of thy youth, but I would just say to every person here, you're as young right now as you're ever going to be. You're never going to be any younger than you are right now. Amen. Amen? Now that's a deep thought. Think about it. Some of you haven't got it yet. You're as young as you're going to be ever the rest of your life right now. So when God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, He's talking to you. Because you're as young as you're going to be. He's talking to me. I'm never going to be any younger. I'm in the days of my youth right now. I may not look like, but I'm in the days of my youth. And so He says to me, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. And what God's saying, not only as I ask you to remember the Sabbath day, not only do I want you to remember that I made heaven and everything that's in it, not only do I want you to remember earth, that I made earth and everything that's in it. Not only do I want you to remember that I made the seas and everything that's in it. I want you to remember that I made you. I am your Creator. And I made you. And I made you because I had a purpose for you to fulfill. I've said it many times before. God didn't wait till you were born and say, well, I've got to figure out something for that person to do. This person has come, it was born, he's come on the scene in the earth, and now God in heaven looks down and say, I've got to figure out something for that little boy or that little girl to do with their life. That's not the way God works. God had something that He needed done, and so He made you to do it. And all of your life, He has used the things in your life to prepare you to do that thing that He made you to do. Your parents were part of that preparation. Your grandparents were part of that preparation. Where you went to grade school is part of that preparation. The friends that you had in grade school as part of that preparation. Where you went to middle school and where you went to high school. It was all part of that preparation. Everything in your life, the neighborhood that you lived in, the place that you went to church when you were a kid, all those things were part of God's plan to prepare you for the job that He created you to do. Some of you here this morning are now making life decisions. You're going to decide where you go to college. You're going to honor our graduates in a week or so. But they're making decisions about where they're going to go to college. They're making decisions about the career they're going to pursue. Soon they'll be making decisions about who they're going to marry. They'll be making decisions about where they're going to live. God still has a plan for your life. You don't make those decisions in a vacuum. You make those decisions, hopefully, in the will of God, because God has a will for every one of those things. Where you go to college, where you live, what job you take, who you marry. I mean, those are not decisions that God leaves just us. Those are decisions that God has a perfect will for every single one of us. Some are past that part of life. We might say we're on the downhill side of life. We're closer to the end than we are to the middle or the beginning. But I want to remind you that are in that category with me this morning that God still has a plan for our life. He still has something that He wants us to accomplish. If God was done with us, He loves us enough to take us to heaven right now. He wouldn't leave us in this mess unless He has something else that He wants us to do. And so He has somebody that He wants you to influence. He has somebody that He wants you to talk to about Jesus. He has somebody that He wants you to give a tract to. We regardless of what station of life we are in, we need to remember our Creator. We need to remember that we were made by Him. We need to remember we were made with a purpose. We need to find out what that purpose is and do it. And do it. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Any step away from the plan of God for your life is a step backward. It's a step backward. And any deviation away from God's plan is a downward movement. God made you, listen, God made you, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what kind of experiences you've had, I don't care what brought you to this place this morning, I say remember your Creator, God made you, He made you for a purpose, find out what it is, and do it. Amen. Do it. So remember the Sabbath, remember that our God made all things, remember thy Creator. He made you with a purpose and a reason and a will. And then number three, you might think this strange to fit in with the other two, but it fits right in there from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 32, where Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I have a whole sermon I preach on this verse. I'm not going to preach the whole sermon this morning, but I'm going to give you the outline. The only time we hear about Lot's wife is when she and her husband and their two daughters were fleeing from Sodom. Sodom had gone into the sin of homosexuality. Every time we read about homosexuality in the Bible, it's called an abomination. Amen. Here was a city that spit in the face of God, that lived up, if you want to say it that way, to Romans chapter 1, where they changed the natural to the unnatural. And God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for that sin. And so when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, He said, I want you to remember, sin always, sin always, sin always will be punished. It will always be punished. As God poured out His punishment on Sodom and Gomorrah, He gave us a picture of what hell is going to be like. Not a complete picture, but the fire and the brimstone. There's a lot more about hell than the fire and the brimstone, but they felt the fire of hell as that fire and brimstone descended from heaven that day and destroyed those two cities. Any nation that ignores the Bible, any nation that changes the natural to the unnatural, any nation which defies God will face his judgment. And as with the nation, so with the individual. Sin will be punished. We're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Remember, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Sin will be punished. But remember Lot's wife. God always provides a way of escape. He always provides a way of escape. In Lot's wife's case, it was her uncle on her husband's side. Uncle Abraham. Remember him? Uncle Abraham? He was Lot's uncle. When the angels came from God to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, they stopped by Abraham's tent. They told Abraham what they were going to do. Abraham knew his nephew was living in the city of Sodom. And so Abraham began to bargain with God. He said, God, you're a righteous God. You're a merciful God. You won't destroy the righteous with the wicked, will you? What if there's 50 good people in the city of Sodom? Wouldn't you spare the city for 50 people? And God said, yeah, you're right. I'm a righteous God. I won't destroy the good with the bad. If I can find 50 good people in Sodom, I'll spare it. I don't have time to go through all the discussion they had, but Abraham got God down to 10 people. 10 people. God said, if I find 10 people in Sodom, I'll spare it. Now Abraham said, boy, I think we've got it made. He thought surely Lot, who was married, had two unmarried daughters, and most Bible scholars think three married daughters and their husbands. Just in his family alone, there would be 10. He had a household. I mean, he had servants. Abraham had 318 manservants when he went to save Lot when he was carried away. Lot probably had 100 because God blessed Lot because he was around Abraham. You would have think it would have been easy for God to find 10 righteous people in Sodom, but he couldn't. The angels came to Lot and his wife, to his two unmarried daughters. They took him by the hand, God honoring Abraham's request, and pulled him out of the city. That was the way of escape for them. That was the way that they could avoid the judgment. The way of escape for us is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we escape the punishment of sin? We escape the punishment of sin because Jesus took it on him himself in our place for us. That's our way of escape. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He paid what I owed. He paid what you owed. He's our way of escape. So remember Lot's wife. Sin will always be punished. God will always provide a way of escape. The choice to escape is ours. You see, Lot's wife, the angel said, I'm pulling you out of the city. I'm going to save you from destruction. Don't look back. Don't look back. And you know the story as well as I do. Lot's wife looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. She chose not to escape. And again, sin's going to be punished. God's provided a way of escape, but we have to choose to take it. God's not going to force it on anybody. God's not going to force his salvation from the punishment of sin on you or you or you or anybody in this room. The choice to take that way of escape is ours. God's provided it, and he makes it available to every person, but the choice to take it is ours. If you haven't taken it this morning, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, if you haven't trusted him and what he did on Calvary to pay for your sins, you can make that choice. And he'll make you one of his children. God will make you one of his children. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Or you could choose to reject him. But know when you do,
when you choose to reject Christ, you are choosing to take upon yourself, for yourself, the punishment of sin. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God, here and forevermore. So, on this Memorial Day weekend, when we remember those that paid the ultimate price defending the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, God says, hey, I want you to remember some things. I want you to remember the Sabbath, and I want you to remember everything that I made. Everything that you have in your life comes from me. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that I'm your creator, that I made you, and I made you for a purpose. Find out what it is and do it. And then I want you to remember Lot's wife. I want you to remember I've given you a way to escape the punishment of sin, but you have to choose it. You have to take it. If you're here this morning and you've never made that choice, would you this morning? I don't know of a better day to do it than the Sunday before Memorial Day in 2019 to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment for sin, but I believe you paid it for me. And right now I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you and what you did on Calvary to make me right with God. I'm calling out to you and asking you to be my Savior. If you do that, he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day that you've given us to remember those who gave their lives defending our country, defending our freedoms. Father, as we remember them, help us to remember you, that you've made everything, that you made us, and that you've also made a way of escape from sin. And I pray for those that are here this morning that's never taken that way of escape. I pray, Father, you'd help them see there's no other way. That if they refuse Jesus, if they reject Jesus, they take upon themselves the punishment for their sin. And I pray you'd help them right where they sit to just decide right now, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Jesus is the only one that works. Jesus, I'm asking you right now to save me from my sin. I'm asking you to save me from that punishment that comes from sin because you paid for it on Calvary. I pray for every Christian that's here. I pray, Father, that you'd help us remember that we were made by you and that you have a purpose for us. Help us to find out what it is and to do it. Just bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.